At the start of the school year, we offered an opportunity for the community to talk to Public School Superintendent Christina Kishimoto on a call-in show. Hawaii's the only statewide education system, and we had a wide-ranging discussion on keeping campuses safe, classrooms cool, and engaging and inspiring students. We also talked about keeping qualified teachers in the classroom. And this week, the DOE for the first time is launching an effort to get community input about teachers' salaries. The meeting started on Oahu on Monday. They'll be on Maui tonight and will wind up tomorrow on the Big Island. The superintendent has been on the job for about 2 years now, and she spent time visiting every school across the state.
So I've visited about two-thirds of our schools and hope to finish up with about 75, 80 school visits this year so that I'm actually looking at each school individually and meeting with teachers and parents and faculty members there, our leadership, and getting a firsthand view of what's happening in education.
And talk about our strategic plan, because we had talked with you earlier this summer about this rollout of the Promise Plan. Where are we at on that?
So I'm excited because we finished our first round of receiving feedback from nearly 3,000 individuals. We are taking a very different approach to our strategic plan. Rather than setting goals for the next 10 years, what we're saying is we're going to create a 10-year vision plan around five promises to students. So we're excited about these five promises. We've received feedback, and so we completed the first round on that review.
Okay, so then what's the plan as far as feedback on what you've come up with so far?
So based on the community feedback, which has been extremely positive, we are now taking that feedback to create the first full draft of the strategic plan that will give a 10-year look at our priorities. So our five promises are focused on Hawaii, really couching ourselves on our cultural and local values. Second promise is around equity, ensuring equitable access to quality education for every child in Hawaii. Our third promise is around school design, really paying attention to how each school is designed with a local context and allowing this diverse portfolio of schools approach, and we can talk further about what that means. Our fourth promise is empowerment, which is shifting empowerment to the school level so that principals and teachers and staff at the local level can make decisions and be empowered to make curriculum design decisions. And our fifth promise is around innovations, innovating in partnership with business and industry to really try to retain our youth capacity here in Hawaii, get them excited about staying here and seeing career pathways that are viable for them.
And Superintendent, what were your general impressions as you were going around to the different schools?
In terms of school facilities, yeah. Catherine, our school buildings are 50 years and older, and keeping up with the demands of the facilities is quite a lift for the state, not just for the DOE, but for all of our state buildings. What I am finding is when I am going to schools and meeting with custodians and meeting with the local team, they are doing a fantastic job of maintaining buildings as best they can. At the same time, keeping up with what classrooms need, and bathrooms, roofs, paving. Those are things that are very evident to, when you go onto a campus, the kind of need they have. So we are, we're all over the place. We have schools that have been updated, and we appreciate the legislature's support and funding on an annual basis. Last year, they gave us the greatest funding that we've had in terms of our CIP allocation, so we appreciate that. And they also tied in our job order contracting work with how they are providing funding. So we're also pleased with $70 million for the year that we have to expend through job order contracting. So that's there holding us to what we said we're going to be doing on expediting some of these projects. But schools are managing within what they have. And for the schools that are our older buildings that have had the least amount of work done on it, yes, you can see the wear and tear. At the same time, what I'm seeing instructionally is fantastic. And I do, give a shout out to my teachers and principals and custodial staff and support staff for the tremendous work that they're doing to support community and create these positive environments.
Can we talk about the teacher shortage? I mean, what needs to be done in order to deal with this? Because, at all levels, we just need the teachers. And I know as a parent, I want a passionate teacher. I want someone who loves, what they're doing. I mean, I recall at Wilson, there was a fabulous teacher, Mrs. Waukee. A shout out to her, she's probably still teaching. And I want a teacher that's engaged, that cares about the students, not someone who just wants an easy job and is going to play substitute.
if you want an easy job, it's not teaching, I tell you that much, and you can speak to any of our kumu. I will say that we have incredible teachers in the Department of Ed. The challenge is we don't have enough of them. And also the challenge is that teaching in the public education system continues to become more and more complex as we look to also provide a lot of community supports and services to our public education systems. And I really need my teachers to be focused on creating that great instructional environment, which means that there are also non-teacher roles that we really need support around, that and we need to provide that opportunity to hire those partners to come in and work with us. But in the classroom, we have, you know, a demand of 1,200, 1,300 teachers that we need a year due to retirement, and also teachers going on to other roles. And I think thinking about teaching as a lifelong profession, we have to think differently today. We have young people who go into teaching, MA, 10 years into teaching, want to switch careers. And that happens across every industry. And we shouldn't think that teaching is, you know, exempt from the fact that employees are working in very different ways in community today, making decisions to work two or three career paths. And so we have to think differently about how we structure these opportunities. But we're also an island state, which means we can't recruit from across, you know, the state lines from someone else. You know, there's a lot of kind of borrowing and stealing from each other on the mainland, and that doesn't happen here. We have to grow our own teachers, and we do have a grow your own teacher program here. We thank the legislators, especially Senator Kidani, who's been at the forefront of ensuring we get funding for this program. We have a troops to teacher program, so military retirees often retiring at a very young age, looking for a second career, helping them to understand the pathway to come into teaching or to have their spouses come into teaching. We also have a program of teacher academies at our high schools that we're growing to help our high school students start their teacher certification program while in high school, so that we can retain our own students to remain in teaching in this profession here in Hawaii, and to see it as a viable career path.
What about the pay? Because, you know, it is pretty shocking, you know, when you see how much you have to make in order to not be considered low income in Hawaii. And it's very difficult with the housing challenges, you know, better pay for teachers so they're more competitive out there, because we don't want to see a brain drain. You know, we do see teachers leave.
Absolutely. So we see teachers who live in more of a joint ohana environment. They have that network and support. When we have our other teachers who don't necessarily have a multi-family kind of home environment, house environment, they're trying to rent or buy on their own, that teacher pay does not go far enough. And one of the things I found in the last two legislative sessions that I've been involved with is that I need very specific data to go to the legislature with to talk about what the delta is between our current pay and competitive pay that will help to mitigate this gap, this teacher gap right now. And so I've contracted actually with a third party to do a study on Hawaii teacher pay that will be available in December that will take into consideration and adjust for cost of living in Hawaii. And it's that study that I will use, our HSTA, our teachers union will use as well. I'll be sharing that with them to go to the legislature to say, This is the delta. This is the amount of money we need to have a competitive salary and also a salary that allows viability to live here in Hawaii. We want to retain that capacity.
Are we doing anything to attract more teachers to the rural areas where there might be fewer teachers, qualified teachers interested in going?
Absolutely. So we do have differentiated pay, and we have stipends anywhere from $3 all the way up to $10,000 of additional pay, hard to fill, or if you have national board certification, we are providing those differentials, and they help. At the same time, the pipeline of future teachers is not filled enough, so we produce about 600 teachers a year, but DOE alone needs about 1,300. So that doesn't count the private schools who are also looking for teachers. And so we're not producing enough teachers here in our state for the demand.
And I know at one time, the University of Hawaii Board of Regents met with the Department of Education school board to talk about how can we help the College of Education produce more teachers and higher quality teachers and to get certified teachers.
Absolutely. And University of Hawaii is a major partner with us in this work and also continues to look at new certification areas. We have a new commitment towards instruction K-12 in computer science, which means another demand area in addition to other teacher demands that we have. And so working with the University of Hawaii around these preparation programs. I also think that as a state, as a system, we need to be willing to think about teacher certification in a very different way. We have a system that's been around forever, right, nationally. And I think we need to think differently about how you access a teacher line, how you get trained while teaching, and create different flexibilities in our policy structure.
You've been listening to School Superintendent Christina Kishimoto. It was part of a call-in show aired at the beginning of the year, of the school year. You can listen back to the entire hour on the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.